keep thinking about Tim. Yesterday was the anniversary of his death. There were search and rescue teams and blood-sniffing dogs. The body they found didn't have a face, like it had been clawed off. The cop said it was probably a coyote or bear. Sam said it must have taken a whole pack of bears to bring down Tim. She wanted to go looking for the one Tim must have killed. She said we could mount it in our basement. "Everyone buckled up?" Mom asks. She tries to fasten hers, but it won't click. She jams it down a few times to finally lock it in. My father pulls out of the lot and onto the road. I put my cheek against the freezing window and stare at the city lights. When we moved to Florida, I expected it to be hot and sticky all the time. But nights by the water, even during the summer, are some of the coldest I've felt. It's like someone sliding icicles right into your bones. Mom turns the heat all the way up. Within minutes, the minivan is a sauna. Sam's letting a couple of pet ants crawl around her hand. She collected a bunch yesterday at the cemetery. Sam and I went alone because Mom and Dad never want to go. Sam stole some flowers from another grave and put them on Tim's headstone. We stood there, and I kept trying to picture Tim's face, the one he had before whatever it was tore it off. But I couldn't. I only saw this fuzzy, tanned blob on his shoulders. I wonder how long it's going to take me to forget his voice, or the time he let me play hooky and snuck me into an R-rated movie. Sam opens the sugar packets she stole from the diner and feeds it to the ants in her palm. She whispers something about how the sacrifice will bring in a good harvest. Tim taught her how to use the magnifying glass to send the little creatures to their flaming death. I just hope Sam doesn't set the yard on fire like last summer. Sometimes I feel Tim never really left. Just entered Sam's body. Thinking about it makes me jealous. They're so much alike. Tim never had a problem making decisions. A lot of them were wrong, at least according to my parents and the cops. But he never panicked. When he saw something he wanted to do, he did it. Grandpa Joe was supposed to break him of that. That was the plan. But I knew Tim would never let that happen. When he stole the car, the cops chased him for almost an hour. The only reason they caught him was he ran out of gas. "I'm hot," Sam says. "Well, take off your jacket, honey," Mom says. Sam is yanking off her puffy black coat when she suddenly starts looking down at the floor. She's clearly lost an ant, and I know I'm going to wake up tonight with it crawling around my bed. I can already feel it jittering into my ear and giving birth in my brain. Dad takes the turnpike to the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. It's all lit up, 100 cables bathed in yellow-green light. Each one stretches to the top of the two towering pillars, creating alien-looking sails rising above the water. In the rearview mirror, I see sweat beads rolling around my father's forehead. "Take the wheel," he tells Mom. "What?" "I need to take my jacket off."
"I'll just turn down the heat."
"No, I'm hot now."
"Let's at least get across the bridge."
Dad forces her hand to the wheel and starts jerking back and forth to get his arm out of the sleeve. Mom's hand is gripping the wheel so hard it's like she's trying to squeeze juice out of the thing. Her arm's shaking, and it's causing the minivan to wobble.
"Tom, please, you know I hate this."
Dad keeps grunting and shuffling.
His whole body turns to the left and the engine revs. The cables of the bridge start passing by so fast I can't even see the spaces between them.
"Tom! My foot's stuck." And so are his arms, both trapped in his jacket. Mom tries to gain control, but we end up swerving. A car honks. Dad's foot must be pressed to the floor because we're going faster and faster. I look over at Sam, who's grinning like a devil.
"The brakes! Brakes!"
Mom screams.
"What do you think I'm..."
Dad trails off, and the tires skid. We're thrown forward, but we're not stopping. The bridge must be too wet. The sound of rubber scraping against pavement is almost as loud as Mom's shrieking. The blast of horns follows. More screeching. Headlights shine through the windshield, then sweep out as cars swerve to avoid us. I see the railing of the bridge. It's getting close. Maybe 10 feet. 5. Nothing but dark sky beyond the metal bars. The van pops up on the curb. We slam into the railing. It's creaking, and I can't open my eyes. I know we're heading over.